welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the big stories in tech, all the things that couldn't be missed that aren't Apple that you really thought, oh, I never knew that, because you didn't follow anything else but Apple, and you should. You should come watch this show more often because it's brilliant. Best show on the network, I reckon. Joining me to discuss all of the shiz in the big stories in general tech of the week, a fantastic panel. Starting us off, top left, Camps, my boy.
Evening.
A dry Chris Campion, nay.
Yeah. Dry and potentially having to need to drive at any point, Chris Campion, this week.
Yeah, no, you've got...
Ribena for me.
The good lady's with child, and you're prepared for her to be without child.
I'm very ready, and so is she right now.
At the drop of a bit of water.
Yeah, certainly not at the drop of any beer, that's for sure.
No, mate. What's the official date?
A week on Saturday, the 9th.
Oh, you got loads of time yet then.
Yeah, I'm ready for that date. She's adamant it's coming early. She's odd enough. She's ready for it out now.
Oh, okay. It's summer months. It's hard being pregnant in the summer.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem. Not sleeping well. It's warm and stuff like that. Yeah, so yeah, she's odd enough.
Yeah, good point. Next to him, it's Jeffrey with a new background turned around.
Yes, I spun everyone around so that you could see the rest of my place as opposed to just my superhero and supervillain underpants prints.
So what's the view that we normally get?
The view you normally get would be if I spin this 180 degrees, so you'd be looking at the front wall of my place.
All right. So if you turn the desk as well then, effectively?
Yeah, I spun the desk all the way around.
Good on you. Is it just because you felt like it or because it was a compelling need?
I felt like it, but you know, if I slide out of the way a little bit, you can see there's all this space here, and my desk was just sticking out into it. Cool. So I thought, why not spin it around and open up some more floor space?
A view of your shredder is something that's been missing for my life for some time, so yeah.
I have no doubt.
Excellent. Next to him, Patrice, back again after the Mac show. How you doing, bud?
Still there, still not tired, so I'm dressed for the big show.
So what's the feeling in Germany after we said we wanted out? Did you all cheer?
I think certain people actually did, yes, because there was a feeling that the UK got a way better deal than the rest of the EU for a long, long time, and I mean, they wanted out, and now, well, they're hopefully gonna be out. That's at least the feeling here.
You're actually sitting there going, they wanted out, and well...
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, mate.
I hate to say this, but it has been probably a long time coming.
I like the British person. I hate the British people.
No, actually, I also, I mean, I know plenty, and I also like the British people. I just don't like British politics. I think that's the issue, really.
All right. Well, when you get here for the bash, mate, you might get a few boos.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well done. Righty.
Hello, mate. Are you all right?
You've been confessing your sins to Hot Boss today.
I have, yes. I'm a naughty boy, and I should be spanked.
Oh.
Did it just get hot in here?
Oh, my word. It is bad in here.
And she confessed her sins to you.
Yeah. So there is some real serious things to consider, should we say.
Oh, okay. Righto. Got you. I'll say no more because we're recording. Jesus. apart from, don't leave Hotbus out of it. What have you been up to, mate?
I've been a busy boy. Oh, God. Well, obviously, my job now is to design online courses, and two of my boys have been off for a prolonged amount of time, and we've been up to our ears, so busy as hell, but really enjoying it. Love the new job, love everything about it. It's just such a good change for me, and
good.
Love it.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. It's Wales versus Belgium. And tonight I'm Belgian because I was so pissed off at the Welsh cheering the Icelandic goal the other night against England. So I need to ask Alan, are you Welsh, mate, or is it just the wife?
It's the wife. I guess I'd pretty much be naturalised Welsh now because came here in 1993.
No, that doesn't count.
Then I married a Welsh woman.
Where were you born?
You become Welsh at that point.
Where were you born?
Born in Dorset.
That's
but
right.
Then Cyprus, Germany, and more time in Wales than anywhere else, actually.
Thank God. Right, so we're all Englishmen here today and Germans. That's good. an American. How you been, mate?
Yeah, all right. Had a bit of a crazy weekend last weekend. I was down in London for a big friend's party. And then...
Is that a big party or a big friend?
A big party. Princess Bagel kept going till 4:30 a.m. And then at 10 a.m. we needed to be in a theme park on roller coasters.
Oh, grouch.
That explains some of the posts I saw.
Choke and puke then, all round.
It was a good weekend, but God, it hurt.
They partied in earnest. Big bloke, Ernest. The week in tech, what's gone on? What's been happening? All the big stuff. Cap, start us off, mate.
Yeah, so ignore the first link that I put in there. And my link, so Amazon. So over in the US, Amazon has plans to sell some smartphones at the moment over there, and they're reducing the price of a couple of handsets initially, some Android devices, by up to 50%. Unlocked any network, but the catch is they're going to put ads on the lock screen. So obviously this isn't the first time it's been done. We've seen Microsoft do it with Windows 10 previously. That didn't go down well. We know that Amazon have got form for this in terms of doing it on the Kindle Fires and subsidizing the price by putting ads on the lock screen. And now they're looking to sell a few phones and do it the same way. So although Amazon have got a bit of form for doing this, it kind of makes me think this is a bit of a growing market, and how far does this stop? We know that Samsung have tried to add it onto some of their TVs in the past. And I just see this as a bit of a new revenue stream for hardware manufacturers, and potentially, I'm just wondering what people on the panel thought about this being a bit of a growing trend and actually could become the norm.
Are you drawing an analogy there with Microsoft? But I think one of the problems with Microsoft was that they didn't divulge that they were going to do.
Yes, just yeah, indeed. Happened.
Whereas at least indeed, this guy's eyes open, I guess. But
yeah, very true.
Away you go, boys. What do you reckon?
This is a giant bucket of steaming crap.
Agreed.
Even eyes open.
No, I think you know, if you're going in and they're really clear that, you know, you're getting this price because you're going to get ads and these are the types of ads that you're going to get, then, you know, that's user choice. You pay a bit, you pay more, or you take ads. That's pretty much, you know, how most of the commerce has worked with internet, at least for quite a while. I think it's fine to give users choice.
But I mean, most users are just gonna, I mean, they're just gonna see the price and not realize that they are getting ads. And I think it also makes the product a little bit worse. So I don't get it.
I think if you, let's just be clear that we're not defending against you're either defending against a deceitful corporation or you're just a twat who didn't read the small print. And I think the Microsoft thing was a bit more deceitful than this seems to be. Jeff, you're the one that's dissented and said a steaming bucket of crap, and then everyone jumped in. So have your say.
Okay. So, yeah, this is totally different from what Microsoft did. Amazon is being completely upfront. I mean, it's very clear that you're buying a phone that, like a Kindle, is going to show you ads. And so I'm glad they're doing that. That's the good part. The bad part for me, this is actually Samsung's fault that it's a bad part for me. And Samsung doing the thing where they started injecting their own ads into smart TVs. And they've been expanding this program. And if you're I don't know if it's the UK, but definitely through parts of the EU, you'll start getting new ads there, which you haven't had before. And I just really, really don't like the idea of paying for a product and then having ads injected into the product without me having control over that. And Samsung has just really pissed me off. So they ruined what Amazon is doing just by the fact that they were jerks about the way they've done ads.
And Jeff, just to be clear on that, Samsung injecting the ads, was that a pre-advertised, a pre-confirmed scenario that they were doing that? Or is it, I bought my TV, as far as I'm concerned, I've been and bought a Samsung panel, like any other normal TV. I turn it on and then suddenly the ad hits me Microsoft style.
Yeah, okay, so yes, it's the latter. People bought their televisions and then ads started getting injected later on. And and that's exactly what's going to happen in the UK. Or excuse me, in the EU.
Yeah, I think it is somewhere in the fine print of whatever you sign when you first sign up or when you first start the TV. But
I believe the fine print is not really clear. Could start doing this at some point.
I mean, you've got to say, if you buy a receiver, because let's be clear, that's what it is. It's a receiver, and you've got a terms and condition over receipt of someone else's signal. You've got to run a mile. And the thing is as well, if that only comes when you first start the thing, that's not an eyes open purchase. That would be contrary to consumer law in this country, and it would certainly be, I would say, an unfair contract term. It wouldn't be binding in any stretch.
Probably yes.
So Ewan, when my view on this sort of thing, I bought one of the Kindle Fires, and going into it, I knew up front, so eyes wide open, I knew that I was getting a reduction on the price based on on-screen ads. I unlock it, there's an ad there, I swipe past it, and I never see another ad until I have locked it in and then come to unlock it again. It does not bother me. And I think if I was going to buy a new TV, a new Samsung TV, and every time I turned it on, there was an ad there, I can click a button on my remote control, move past it, and then just continue viewing as I normally would without seeing another ad injected. Personally, I don't have an issue with that at all.
Yeah,
what I do foresee down the line is that you can go buy a TV. There's no mention of ads on there, and initially there isn't, and it's a smart TV. And somewhere down the line, a firmware update comes in, and that firmware update gives you new functionality as part of the smart TV. But there's the terms and conditions within that firmware update that says if you update the firmware as part of this, you are also agreeing to ads, and that's something that I probably see coming. But it for me is underhand at that point.
Well, they update automatically as well, because I've got Panasonic, and it started off with a little banner at the bottom when I started the TV, and it said sponsored ad, and it said Panasonic at the bottom, and then it went to certain ads, you know, because I think they went around 3 months with just saying Panasonic sponsored ad, and then it went to this is, you know, Nike or Adidas or whatever it was, and I was like, well, I just bought this set. You can't advertise to me on something that I bought because I didn't sign up for this. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is, I mean, you've got to find out who you can go to get that change, righty, but I think you probably could find that the law would be on your side in getting that changed. What they're relying on is someone not doing it. So you need a class action then at that point.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
To go back and say, right, EU, intervene on my behalf. And you just need to write a letter of complaint to the EU. I mean, well, they'll set it on fire and then put it out with their piss, but at least you have tried.
But that was the surprising thing to me is I haven't bought a TV in many years, and I spent a lot of money on a good TV. And when I first bought it, there were no ads. And then now when I start it, I think after the first 6 months, I don't know if it was a time thing or anything like that. But it then started saying, you know, these ads started appearing. And I was like, wait a minute, I've not signed up for this. I've paid full price for this. I've not diminished the price for getting free ads or anything like that. Why do you do this to me?
But I think I keep seeing that's a deceitful thing again. And whereas this isn't. Amazon are going, do you know what? Instead of $100, we're going to charge you $50. But there's got to be something on your lock screen, which actually is going to be there for a second when you then swipe the phone to open it. But okay, it's there. And I took it. And I'm great. And actually, you know, the one that they've got up on here has actually got quite a nice picture on it. I don't know what they're selling, but it's a nice picture of a woman next to a telescope. I could cope with that. If it's a decent picture, a decent advert, decent image every day, so what?
Are you going to buy it?
I don't need a phone at the moment, so no. But if I was in the market for a cheap phone, for Ellis, say, or something like that, or Bryony said she needed a phone because she was in year six at school or something like that, would I buy her a $49 Android phone that was from Amazon? Yeah, I think I might. And if she's going to look at the adverts, and they're going to mean a damn thing to her. So what? I get £50 in my pocket, and she can just flick past an advert that she doesn't pay any attention to anyway.
That's fair enough, yeah.
But if you're talking about I open my TV and my TV stops me from watching the television when I haven't paid for that or been warned about that, yeah, I've got a problem with that. And if you're telling me I have to look at this screen for 5 seconds before my phone opens and I can use it, that then destroys functionality of camera, it destroys functionality of answering calls, it destroys functionality of emailing or messaging people quickly if you're trying to find them in a shopping precinct or something. So then I've got a real issue with it if it's destroying functionality. But if this is just something that when you touch the screen, it pops up and then you push another button, it's gone. Couldn't care less.
Well, that's the thing. My TV makes me wait 5 seconds before I can get rid of the advert. That's, I bought that TV.
That's horrific.
Oh, that's bad.
Take it back.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Take it back to the place that sold it to you and say, this is not what I purchased.
Yep. No, literally, I've got a Panasonic Viera, 42-inch, and I turn it on, and it goes, here's an advert, and you sit there, go, exit, exit, exit. Nope. And after 5 seconds, then you can exit.
That's horrific. You got it. Where did you buy it from?
Get rid of that TV.
Yeah. I got it from Very. Send it back, yeah?
Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd write to them first and say, this is not what I paid for. Make sure it's a letter of some description or email that you can verify, and then get a response from them about it and put in there that you make claim against them for it. And if they don't do it, just file a claim in your small claims court.
Okay.
Against them.
Now, I love this show.
Well, I think people don't realise that for 70 quid, you can file a claim, 70 or 80 quid, you can file a small claims against someone, and everyone go, well, okay, but you might not win that small claim, or you know, you won't win that small claim because you're not on the right side. It doesn't matter. You file a small claim, someone in there suddenly has a clench of their sphincter and some action takes place. That's it. So it's a threat sometimes, more than just being an absolute you may not win, but filing the small claims just gets people to think, and it doesn't cost you a fortune. That's the idea of the small claims court, up to £3,000. Go and see your local Citizens Advice Bureau as well. They're excellent. I went to them with my issue with the camera that I had the other week, and they were extremely helpful, even though they had no clue what they were looking at. Mm-hmm. Local Citizens Advice, brilliant, brilliant people. All free advice for consumers.
Awesome charity.
They are. Superb. I don't know if they're a charity or not.
Yeah.
I think they're a government-funded service, but I don't know. Protection for consumers still on your side. I mean, if they've changed the distance selling regulations now, so the consumer protection regulations are a bit different in terms of your 10 days, etc., that used to be there with the distance selling regulations and the number of reasons and the fact you could send it back in any condition you like. You've got to send it back so it's as new now, so they can sell it as new again. But there's still massive protections for the consumer out there. Really, really good. And if you're talking about a faulty product or a product which changes its functionality without due notice, it's no longer then fit for the purpose that it was sold for, you would have a perfectly good claim against them. It doesn't matter about the condition of the TV or whether you've used it or not. It's irrelevant. Brush up on your consumer protection law. There's loads of blogs out there that will help you. There was one thing that with the people there, it said if it shows sign of use, then they can't use it. And one of the things that clearly specifies is in the consumer protection regulations is that you are entitled to use an item in order to test its functionality, especially electronics. So they can't tell you that you can't return it because you've used it. It's absolute bollocks.
And you're in a really interesting point that obviously you clarified in the Slack room a couple of weeks ago. It was around the cost of postage. If you've gone for the standard and cheapest postage offering, they need to refund that for you as well.
Yeah, no, I slagged off CVP a little bit because I was worried that they were going to get funny with me over this camera. I want to say straight out of the bat that CVP were awesome with this. They gave me a full refund on the item, and without me asking, and I wasn't going to ask for it, but without me asking, they refunded my carriage as well as. So they stuck to the letter of the law. Absolutely well done, CVP.
Do they have to pay for your carriage?
They had to pay for the carriage.
Yes.
No. So I sent it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
That was at my expense.
Yeah.
But they had to return to me the original carriage that they shipped it to me with, even though I just didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite impressed.
I had exactly the same scenario. My wife bought a bag from Selfridges. It wasn't a cheap one. It arrived. It was smaller than what she expected it to be. packaged it up. She sent them an email and said, and I do trust as part of this, you'll be refunding the £5 that it cost for you to ship this to me. And they said, absolutely, of course, send it back to us. And the full refund hit the account a couple of days later. Great.
Mm. Yeah, they're very good.
Nice.
If the ones that are good are really, really good. The ones that are bad are horrid. Comments in the chat room here generally, and there's a point here, because there's probably a factory reset on your TV, Righty. So yeah. Do a factory reset, because smart features are usually shit.
Yes. Oh, they're terrible.
So just do a factory reset back to where it was and don't plug it in again and you should be fine. Unless it's got an Ethernet connection or a Wi-Fi connection, it can't update itself.
It probably can't.
And I'm waiting for the day when TV makers start saying, yeah, well, if you want to actually turn this TV on and use it, it needs to have an Internet connection.
Oh, yeah. Screw that.
And you know some TV maker's going to do it.
I think we're different from the US, though. I think we have a lot more consumer protection here, mate.
I'd like to have some EU and UK protection here.
Yeah, all ours is EU protection. I mean, the two-year warranty on electronic products is all EU. So
yeah.
I didn't want to leave, but there we go. We've had a couple of people who've written to us actually and said, could you explain Brexit? I did it in the Max show, but it's fairly fundamental. A load of people who didn't think they'd get out thought they'd just actually write leave on their ballot paper, and lo and behold, we left. Morons. There you go.
Morons.
And now we're in the shitter. Camps' wife has dropped by the looks because he's disappeared. well done, Mrs. C. I hope it's all goes well and there's no problems. He'll be back, I'm sure. Thumbs down.
But it should only take a couple of minutes, right?
Thumbs down on the TV discussion that we've had, because that's not good for you, right, and other people that have had that issue.
It's terrible.
Thumbs up on the phone. I think that's, you know, people want cheap phones for their kids and that kind of stuff. Stuff that's nearly disposable. If the kids lose this, drop it in a river, drop it and stand on it, or get it in the road and someone drives over it. Not the end of the world. Not in the
it's
world.
Disposable.
Although the peer pressure on phones is horrific, because Ellis is whinging on because he's having the piss taken out of him because he's got a Windows phone and not an iPhone. So
poor kid.
Yeah, it's hard life, isn't it? Facebook changes story, now says phone location is not used to recommend friends. Whose story was this one?
This was mine. Digital's.
Go on then.
So it was an interesting one of, so originally there was a story about a guy approached a reporter and said, I think that I'm suspicious that Facebook is using my Facebook app location on my phone to recommend friends, because and actually gave the example that it was unfortunately a sensitive meeting of parents who'd had kids who'd at least attempted suicide, and this bloke, who he'd not exchanged any actual contact details and stuff, just talked to at this meeting, had turned up on his suggested Facebook friends, and the only thing he could work out was that his phone had been on and he had the Facebook app on it. So, you know, and then obviously there were other sort of people who also said, yeah, I'd noticed, you know, Facebook friends seem to be a bit funny, and this person that, you know, I was met in a bar but didn't actually exchange anything with, or the receptionist at my psychiatrist's office, or someone else that, you know, just happened to be in the same place at the same time as me, showed up on my suggested friends list. So this reporter went and asked Facebook, you know, do you use smartphone location data to recommend new friends? And on the Friday, and then apparently again on the Monday, Facebook said, yes, it does use smartphone location data, if your privacy features allow, as one of the things that it decides on recommending friends. The journalist wrote a story. And not surprisingly, that sort of headline of Facebook uses phone location to suggest friends got a lot of buzz. And then Facebook came back and said, no. We did one trial a little while ago. It was never public. But no, we don't use your phone location to suggest friends. We do use it for other things, but not for suggesting friends.
Why is that even surprising that Facebook might be doing that. I mean, I know plenty of other apps that are doing exactly the same thing, and they tell you that they're doing it.
I think the issue, I mean, I guess the one here is that, yeah, not many people probably would be that surprised necessarily to think that Facebook would use your phone location as part of suggesting friends. On the other hand, some of the sort of stories around this suggest why they definitely shouldn't, because just because you happen to be in the same location with someone else at the same time isn't a great way to suddenly recommend that you should get in closer contact with the person. Seems a great option for stalker and potential embarrassment.
Well,
and also
to be honest, the research says something a little bit different. I mean, it's not a guarantee that if you're close to someone, you're also friends to it, to that person, but or friends with that person. But the research, I mean, really says that location is at least one factor in connection, in friendships. So there is some. There's something to that.
I'd say, you know, it is, but it is just this one of, it's suggesting, you know, these ones of, well, do you really want Facebook to create links and start suggesting who, you know, these other people that you go to an AA meeting with?
Sure. I mean, that's...
And interestingly, this sort of, using shared phone location to figure out people's real world associations is a technique the NSA agreed that they used in 2013.
So sure. there's a guy here and he said, last week a man who was concerned that Facebook has used his smartphone location to figure out people he might know. He attended a gathering for a suicidal teen. For suicidal teens, Facebook recommended one of the other parents there as a friend, even though they seemingly had nothing else in common but being in the same place at the same time. He asked me whether Facebook was using location to figure out if people knew each other. That's how the guys got onto it. So that's a bit of evidence.
To be honest, if they went to the same meeting, there is at least a higher probability that they might be friends or might become friends. So, as I said, I mean, whether Facebook should be doing that, different story, but it is just from a purely scientific standpoint, it is probably correct.
There's another comment here from Violet Blue on Twitter who says, this might explain why my friends have been asking me how come strangers who are hitting on them in bars are coming up as suggested likes with their friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about that happening, and I've also heard that that Facebook is supposedly using location data to figure out who people are dating when they're using the Tinder app.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not going to be suggested friends. It's going to be soon suggested relationship. Just click one button to say you're in a relationship and publicize that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a disease I can get from that?
Yeah, I mean the other
probably.
Yeah, I mean there are other options for Facebook to do the same thing. I mean, without the location data, if you, for example, check into a bar and another person does it too, then I mean you know that at this time those two people were in the same place. You don't even need location data. You just need to know that they were at this bar. You know what the bar's name is.
Yeah, I mean, one interesting thing I did see was supposedly, I'm not sure which platforms it's on, but they were saying in the Facebook, I think it's in the Facebook app preferences on certain phones, if you go into location, you have three options. You have Facebook can use my location never, Facebook can use my location when I'm in the app, and Facebook can use my location always. So
defaulting
the interesting always. One, is obviously that always one of even if Facebook's running in the background or just, you know, a background service on your phone, it could still be pinging location. Whereas if you're actually actively using the app, that would seem to suggest more of an engagement with Facebook at that point and be more of a you having an expectation of Facebook knowing where you are rather than it logging always on sort of thing. So it might be time to go dig into your Facebook privacy settings again, as we all have to do every sort of 6 months to find out what new toggles they've added in there.
I don't use it on the phone, so that's easy enough to do, but...
yeah, no, yeah, I guess. Well, there's always the mobile web. There's always the mobile web instead of the app if you don't trust the app, I guess.
To a certain degree, I think there's an awful lot of applications that are providing front ends that do functionality for you as a social function or as a physical function, and actually they don't give a toss about you performing that function. They just want to know location data and functionality of movement and that kind of stuff. And the one thing that keeps coming up is Uber. You know, Uber don't actually give a toss about the taxi service. They make no money from it. What they care about is where you went, where you got dropped off, where you were picked up from, correlate it. And there's a story this week, isn't there, about Uber saying in Austin that they've been banned by Austin Council or something like that, the local councils, yeah. And they're saying that they can correlate a downturn in drink driving offences since Uber came to the town.
Yeah, Lyft is saying the same thing.
Yeah. Which, why wouldn't they? Because that's what it, you know, it services their end, if you like, so... but it's all about the data. It's all about what they gather about you and the information exactly. They get from you, and that's where the money is. It's not actually the amount that you buy or sell with them.
By the way, the Facebook privacy settings are just the iOS settings I checked. The standard iOS privacy settings.
Okay.
And Facebook is honoring those settings now. It didn't used to, but they fixed that.
Yep, exactly.
Doesn't need to be. I mean, they're saying that they did it as a trial, and it doesn't. There's a kind of in this country we have a thing called the ombudsman, and so you get the finance ombudsman, you get the banking ombudsman, you get the police ombudsman. I guess there is one, police complaints authority, and yep. this ombudsman is set up with monitoring a type of business. And I'm just wondering whether it's time that we had a social ombudsman, you know, a social media ombudsman, that if you get an unfair complaint about the way that you're treated online, you can take it to that authority. Or if you get penalised by a government or police service, you can take it and say, well, you know, I said this, it was clearly said in jest, you can't, you know, the bomb Robin Hood Airport thing runs to mind, where the guy could have gone in front of the ombudsman and said, this is clearly a joke, what the hell are we doing here? And instead of going to the court, it just went to a low level where someone said, yeah, grow up. And that's probably what we need. And someone needs to call Facebook to account. They need to go in front of the minister for social media or the ombudsman for social media and say, what the hell do you think you're doing? You know, you can't do this.
Good point. Yeah.
Would that not be covered under Ofcom?
No, Ofcom's, I've looked into Ofcom with the thing that I've got with Virgin Media, and Ofcom won't deal with individual complaints. So you've got to be talking about the way that something is dealt with, deals with everyone. Now, you could push the Facebook thing forwards, but as you've got privacy settings that are in there that you haven't changed, they'd be powerless, I would think. I think that's the point, is not so much that they don't want to do something, but I think they've just got a bit toothless, to be honest, at times. Good story, mate. Good story. Excellent. Who put in Freedom Pop Sim serves up 10 gig of data for £10 a month?
Me, mate.
Go on, talk us through it.
So we talked about this before. Freedom Pop is the service that was in America, now in the UK, where you get 200 minutes of calls, 200 texts, and 200 megabytes data for free. They're doing a kind of limited deal at the moment where you can get unlimited calls, unlimited text, and 10 gig of data for £10 a month. And I listened to that, I went, oh my God, because me and the family, we're all kind of for contract renewals and those sort of things. It's like, you look at what you see online, and we do this thing, and you and I know you are buy a phone outright and pay the deal later. But people don't see these deals, do they? The person on the street don't see these. We pay over and above for the phones that we buy. We pay, I don't know, I don't know what the percentage is. If you buy an iPhone, you probably pay 30, 40% more than it's worth. It's a limited deal at the moment. But 10 gig of data, unlimited text and unlimited call, that's an amazing deal, which shows that you can actually do this on the networks. I know that Freedom Pop piggybacks. I think it's O2. I'm not sure. They piggyback on. But doesn't it show that networks should be really scared of the power that people could have of buying their phones themselves. I did a thing with my my father-in-law last week. My mother-in-law was running with iPhone 3GS, wasn't really working for her, bought Moto E, 60 quid on Amazon, unlocked. She put a SIM card in there, a gift card SIM, and she's away and she's happy. But everyone just walks into the stores right now and they pay 40, 50 quid a month for phones. This just shows that they can have so much better deals if they just shop around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is saying that this could disappear. It says next week. Yeah, so this is next week it could disappear.
No, it's gone.
It's gone?
Yeah, I just checked online.
So they just published this thing. They published this story 9 hours ago, righty?
And it's already gone.
It's already gone.
Jesus Christ. So that just shows the demand of what they've actually had then.
Yeah, it's supposed to be towards the middle of next week, according to the story originally.
No, if you go to the website, it's completely gone. You get the Trio SIM for £10, 1,000 minutes, 1,000 texts, 1 gig of data for £8.99, premium services £3.99, free shipping £1.99, one-time activation 99 pence. So it's that's a really absolutely callous publicity stunt, which I'm going to bleep their name from it.
That's terrible. I'm shocked by that.
What's the... I'm getting... I can still see the offer on their homepage. But is it when you then see if your location qualifies?
Guess what?
It won't.
Yeah.
Right.
That is...
Grab an email and grab a location.
Oh, screw you then. I'm so sorry for bringing the story. That's absolutely bullshit then.
All right.
So bait and switch. Shame and shame.
That sucks.
That is disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
That really is kind of capitalising on just... That should be a deal that should be elongated for all. That is ridiculous.
And if you're that person that came up with that, I hope someone sticks a pencil in your eye. There we go.
Yeah, because the comparison they did with Three did a deal for £11 on a SIM-only deal, which is 200 minutes, unlimited text and 500 mega data for £11 a month. So, like I said, I did that with the goodwill. Yeah, of...
I suppose, when you look at Giffgaff's offer, so Giffgaff, similar sort of thing, you can get your SIM-only deal. And they're doing for 250 minutes, unlimited text messages, 500 mega data, free calls to other Giffgaff numbers in that. That's £7.50 a month. Mm. And I think Giffgaff jump on O2's network as well. Now, I used a Giffgaff data-only SIM card when I needed it for my iPad when I was traveling a bit more than I do now, and I've kind of got to be honest, I don't know, to say it was piggybacking on O2's network, the coverage for me was absolutely diabolical, and I cancelled it fairly quickly. I think I only used it for about maybe 3 months because the signal was just so bad, it was just so slow, and it can't sort of, going back to where your original story came from, could this really challenge the other big network providers? And I'm not, based on what I've seen of Giffgaff, I'm not convinced they can. Maybe initially, but it'd be interesting to see how many people sign up for services like Giffgaff and don't hang around for long.
You see, I'm getting the deal on the website right now.
So yes. No, also my address. It's also is coming up for me, that deal.
I've got it. Unlimited text, unlimited talk, 10 gig of data, $9.99 a month. I've got it.
But can you can you go to the point of buying it, though?
Okay. Yes, I am through to a activate screen and a sign up for monthly renewal.
Well, in that case,
it does say only supports devices running Android 4 and iOS 7 plus. So no good for me. Bye.
Well, yes, sorry, Alan.
I know. Well, that's why they've let me through, see, is because it's no good to me.
That's why.
So you can get through to buying. So in that case, we owe you an apology, Pop. I do apologise.
I am in. I've put my address in. Now I can have it right now.
But I do think the other one is, though, people do need to think, because the problem is you do need to make sure of who, all these virtual providers, you do need to pay attention to who they're running on top of and what that provider's service is like in your area, because around my area, maybe the reason this is available is EE's coverage is so much better than O2's around my South Wales area. And so I probably would have real trouble using that much data just from, poor quality of signal. So I'm willing to pay more to make sure I'm on a network that gives me really good indoor and outdoor signal quality.
I don't think that my issue is with the quality of the signal. What I've woken up to in the last few months is my dad and a couple of people I know, my stepmum and all those sort of things. I've moved them over to the Moto G. I think they're on Tesco Mobile and Vodafone, and they pay £11.50 a month. They get a free phone. They get, they get a gig of data. They get 500 texts. They get 500 minutes. Not that anyone uses any minutes anymore anyway. but I'm sitting here, and I'm paying £45 a month for an iPhone 6, and I'm thinking, I am getting shafted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nowadays, pretty much any smartphone, modern smartphone, is good enough. Even for exactly. People with reasonably high smartphone requirements. So, you are a mug being on contract for a smartphone anymore. You're paying a premium to have a piece of tech jewelry when something that is mid-range or even previous gen flagship would do you great. I mean, I'm currently looking at, I'm going to grab a previous gen Lumia 930 soon. That was the previous Windows Phone flagship. It's £95 to get me a grade A second-hand handset of a 930 outright.
Not bad at all.
It's just not worth it. Contract is not worth it if you, it's not worth it for people who want a new phone regularly. And I don't think it's worth it for normal people who frankly don't, wouldn't know a big difference between a top-end brand new smartphone and a mid-range smartphone, because they're just so good now.
Yeah, so straw poll, who's contract and who's not?
Nope.
Jeff, you're in a contract?
No.
Just you then, righty?
It's me. I'm a
just
mug.
You, the mug.
I am the mug. So I brought a story that makes you look like absolute mug. Great.
Right, one of the guys that I work with, last time when he came around, I think it was for his 6S, what he did is he actually went out and got one of the 0% credit cards, bought his phone outright in one go, and then paid his phone off over something like 3 or 6 months, where he didn't have to pay any interest, and then just took a SIM only, because when he added the numbers up over the 2-year term of the contract, it saved him about £300 or £400.
But that's the thing about smartphones, though, isn't it? Because you and you're still on the 6 Plus, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on 6 Plus, yeah.
You don't see the need to go to the 6S Plus, do you?
No, I didn't.
And I don't think the 7's going to do it either.
7 would be the camera. If the camera's really, really kick-ass, then they might part me from my money. But
you're a camera fetishist, yes.
So would it just be the camera that makes
that
you
makes
move?
It sound like I do it in back alleys with people wearing black carrying leather when actually I get paid to do it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm the Dom, don't forget. No. it's a job thing. So if I'm out with my camera, with my phone, and I can get some snaps to send through to a customer so that he can get, quick and easy end-of-day report type stuff out, then I'll use the phone every time.
You've still got the Lumia?
No, I've got it in the bag, but it's I don't use it very much. I use the iPhone now. It's the images are good.
But I'll be a peak iPhone or Android phone. My 6, which is 2 years old now, unless they come up with something amazing in September, is there any reason, like 3D Touch was never a reason to move to the 6S? The 7's got to be amazing to make anyone move.
I think we're waiting till next year to get the crazy amazing upgrade. I think the iPhone 7 is going to be a really nice step up, but it's not going to have that crazy upgrade that you're looking for.
Yeah, no, I think
just a hunch.
If it's just a camera and the iOS, I think they've calculated badly there. But I mean, there's still, I mean, we're not doing the Mac show either, so. if it's still there, get out there and get it. If it's disappeared, then you were warned. So there we go.
Yeah.
US Senate will finally stop using BlackBerries.
Yeah. Because it's not the Mac show, I picked something finally not Mac related. And I think the US government is probably the one or big organization best known for still using BlackBerry. I mean, probably anybody else has moved on, or most people have moved on. Most companies have moved on. The Senate or probably the entire government is still using BlackBerry. But according to this article, once the current stock of BlackBerry devices that they apparently still have, there are a couple of devices mentioned, like the Passport, the Z10, Z30, Q10, and so on. Once they run out, they will supposedly get other devices like Samsung Galaxy S6, that was German, or the iPhone SE, or probably also one of the other iPhones. Approved devices for sure, because of security reasons and so on. It's really, for me, it's interesting that BlackBerry is even losing the big customers that were so security focused and didn't want to move to anything else because BlackBerry was supposedly still the most secure device. And I mean, Barack Obama famously wanted to use his iPhone and couldn't. So apparently does Hillary Clinton, at least she says so, who knows. So I wanted to, do you care? I mean, I know that Greeny probably still cares, but do you care about that?
He loves his passport.
Yeah. It's does that matter in a grand schema of BlackBerry?
I just think the problem with this kind of story, though, Patrice, is that none of us have kept up with BlackBerry tech I don't know whether it's... I mean, I'm sure it has moved.
Well, to be fair, I don't think BlackBerry has either.
But I'm still a little bit in touch with them, Ewan, because we use them in our organisation. And I'm just going to drop a link in the chat room now, because they've announced, BlackBerry have announced, I think it was this week, that they're on the verge, or they are building three new Android-based BlackBerry devices. So should run,
really?
Run all the BlackBerry. Yeah, should run Android. Now, I think a bit of a change going on here. So BlackBerry bought Good. About 12 months ago now, and Good runs an app sandbox environment on iOS and on I don't know if they do it on Windows. They definitely do run it on Android.
Yeah, no, it was on Windows, man. It was awful.
Yeah. All right. And there's plenty of other sort of AirWatch and things like that out there which run on Android devices and on iOS as well. And it just makes me think, this is clearly for me a bit of a last gasp chance by BlackBerry to try and stay in the market to some degree by moving on to Android and getting off of BlackBerry OS. Whether this will work or not, I don't know. If they can still incorporate the security and the brand, where they've clearly still got some reputation with some companies, maybe they can just snatch it back a little bit. But they're just grasping now.
Yeah, I think that they have definitely lost the device fight at this point. I mean, whatever they do, I mean, even if they now create devices with Android, I'm not sure that will be enough. They might be able to survive on services or on software. Who knows? I mean, they've been good at that in the past, so it's just a question, have they kept up, or are they really dead?
All modern businesses are now working on bringing your own device, and they're building that as an infrastructure now. Yep. People aren't bringing BlackBerries into the thing. Enterprise, you know, certainly my organization and many organizations, Android, iOS, that's what people are bringing in now, and they're building infrastructure around those sort of things. Where they build it around BlackBerry before, yes, they did. But now people are bringing their own devices. You know, we're iPads, we're all sorts of things, Android tabs all over my estate right now. People aren't bringing BlackBerries anymore. Why support it?
So maybe, I mean, maybe this play with BlackBerries running Android might work out, because, I mean, at least for some old school managers, that might be the solution. I mean, have an Android device that basically works with the rest of the company, but still have the BlackBerry name brand. So they still expect it to be secure and I mean, associated with the good old days, basically.
So maybe that will work. BlackBerry was probably most loved for within that corporate environment. Is it the security? Clearly within IT it will have been, but from users, is it just not the physical keyboard?
No,
I think it was a physical keyboard.
I think for a lot of people it was, actually, that and the connectivity back in the days. I mean, being able to send emails and even chat with people. But I mean, back then that was a big issue. Nowadays it isn't.
I mean, that seems to be, you know, where BlackBerry's potentially got their biggest niche. Is surprisingly, there don't seem to be that many Android handsets that do have physical keyboards. Mm-hmm. So BlackBerry would be kind of best placed of anyone to, you know, create a niche of Android phones with physical keyboards and allegedly, you know, added security. Have people moved beyond physical keyboards now? Are there any still hanger-ons for that think a physical keyboard is better than a soft keyboard and more screen space?
Let's rephrase that, because I'm not saying I want a physical keyboard on my phone, but what I'm saying is a physical keyboard better than the virtual keyboard I've got on my iPhone? 1,000,000%. My typing accuracy was phenomenal on the BlackBerry keyboard I have when I had a BlackBerry Curve, and the speed that I could type with was blistering and accurate. And the current keyboard on the iPhone is like a bag of shit, and the auto-corrupt on it just makes it into an even bigger bag of shit with nails in it, with an explosive tied to it to pepper it.
That's just not sanitary.
It's just shit.
You find it that bad?
Yeah. Oh, it's crap. It's absolute shit in comparison to what I used to get out of my BlackBerry Curve. My BlackBerry Curve, I could fly like the wind, mate, and it was accurate. It was dead accurate.
But to be fair, that's Apple's out-of-the-box keyboard, isn't it? And you can do third-party ones now. Hopefully some of those are better.
They're all shite.
They're all shit.
Okay.
I think it also has to do with what...
I tried the Swipe one. That's bollocks.
Swipe rubbish. Is horrible.
You know, how do people think the Android soft keyboards are doing then? You know, is it iOS's fault that the third-party ones are rubbish too?
I think soft keyboards are shit, full stop, perhaps. Yeah.
But I think,
you know,
I think
my biggest problem with software keyboards on the iPhone is autocorrect. And I can type out a sentence that's absolutely correct, and then autocorrect will just munch the whole thing up for me.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Agreed. Okay. Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah. Autocorrect is crap.
Autocorrect. Yeah, I think, I mean, it might also be a generational issue, because if I look at people that are even 10 years younger than me, I mean, if they are typing way faster than I ever did. And I grew up in the era of hardware keyboards, so maybe that also makes a difference.
Patrice just types in emojis.
Yeah, see, there's the solution. Type in emojis, and software keyboards are much better.
Yeah, and with iOS 10, they get even suggested.
That auto emoji feature that they've put in iOS 10 is just, you imagine typing a text to a customer and it just shoves all that shit in, and you're like,
well, you have to select it, but.
At the moment, you do.
On emojis.
I was going to say, I'll let your money, you have to deselect it.
True.
Ewan, is that where you send them a message with a quote for some work on there? You type the message out and then you just leave the quote bit so it's blurred and they have to swipe over it. Choose the moment.
Oh, you
softening them up like a garage.
Sit down. Okay, now you can see the price. Tesla autopilot enthusiast is killed in the first ever self-driving car death. Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened was that this guy had his Tesla in autopilot mode, and it drove into the back of a truck, and the guy in the Tesla ended up dying. And there's some questions about exactly what happened, and Tesla is saying that it looks like there was an issue where the Tesla's onboard cameras weren't able to distinguish between the bright sky and the bright white truck. And so when the car should have braked and slowed down, it just continued to plow forward and slammed into this truck. And the guy that was driving the truck, he was saying the guy in the car was watching a Harry Potter movie. And so now people are asking, well, how was he watching a Harry Potter movie? Was he watching it on the built-in screen? And if so, he had to do some sort of hack to his car to allow him to do that, which means that he could have altered the software in some way that caused the car to not be able to brake when it was supposed to. Or did he have like an iPad in his lap and was he watching a movie that way?
Mm-hmm. So Jeff, I was considering this story as well this evening, so I came across a different article, a different one that's got some more detail.
Oh, good.
So apparently this was a big lorry with an 18-wheeler trailer, and it was actually pulled directly across the road at 90 degrees. So the Tesla actually was at the middle of the trailer where there weren't any wheels. And so I think the Tesla's cameras, there was nothing directly in front of the bumpers.
Oh.
It went under and took off the roof, and it sounds like his head sort of as it went underneath the trailer.
Yeah, and because, I mean, the Tesla couldn't do anything and the driver wasn't paying any attention, then that's why.
Yeah, so the driver missed this big white trailer 90 degrees across the road. The Tesla missed it because there was nothing touching the floor. And it wasn't expecting something at roof height and white on a white sky background. And yeah, I find it rather, the driver of the tractor trailer says that, yeah, he's claiming that the driver was watching a Harry Potter video on a portable DVD player just before the crash.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going, hang on. Your tractor trailer is 90 degrees and your cab must be the other side of the divider. How the hell did you see what was on his screen in a car coming towards you and have enough time to pay attention but not blow your horn to warn him he's not slowing down?
What I read is what the police said is that the driver said that after the crash he saw the Harry Potter movie still playing. And that's why. But they wouldn't confirm whether that's actually the case. I mean, because if you're involved in the crash, you never know whether the person is saying the truth or telling the truth or not.
I think we've got to be careful what we say here, boys, because there's too many he says, et cetera, in this that could be absolutely spurious with people just trying to cover their arses from all viewpoints. I think if the circumstances are correct in the way that you've described it, Jeff, it seems a very plausible incident, and I don't know how they're going to defend against it, but I suppose at junctions, particularly where you've got people pulling out, you could end up with, you know, a lorry pulling forwards and looking to make a left turn, say, or something onto the highway, or right turn onto the highway, and that being exposed for a brief second. If they haven't seen the Tesla coming, then the Tesla's not going to stop. And then I think, and this is one of the things that always bothers me with the self-driving car thing and with the drone thing, is that people are going on about the technology and throwing money at the technology and making the technology work, when actually the biggest hurdle they've got is regulation. It's not technology.
And people.
Yeah, you're not going to, I think you struggle to going to get an authorised, I don't see it in my lifetime that you'll get a freely authorised drone or a freely authorised self-driving car, ever.
Yeah, and we have another problem, which is that we're in a very early stage with these self-driving cars, and they're out and available to the public. And the public assumes, because they can go buy a self-driving car, that it just magically works. So what do? You watch a movie while your car's driving down the road.
But this guy's made a lot of films about the safe driving capabilities of this, and
he
doesn't seem the kind of character that would start a movie up. He clearly gets it if he's making movies about how well it works.
Right.
Yeah, he does. That's it. As I say, you know, he's a 40-year-old ex-Navy SEAL who runs his own Nexu Innovations company and is known, you know, I think, as they has had, you know, significant or contact with Elon Musk in the past and stuff.
Well, Elon Musk,
you know, a Harry Potter movie on a portable DVD player. This guy, I don't think he'd go anywhere near a DVD.
He owns a technology firm and a DVD.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if someone had said he was watching some other film on an iPad, I might be a bit more thing. I mean, the other one to say is, in terms of stats, supposedly, so this is the first Tesla autopilot-related fatality in 130 million miles driven by its cars. That compares with a US average fatality of 1 in 94 million miles for standard cars in the US, but in the rest of the world globally, it's only 60 million miles per fatality. So obviously, we haven't, you know, one is not a statistical thing, and that could change dramatically. But it does seem there were some rather unique situations, and sorry, the driver obviously wasn't paying enough attention, but it was a difficult visibility issue potentially anyway. So I mean, one other interesting one I thought was that this, because the Tesla has so much technology in it, actually it has a black box, and therefore they have said, and you know, neither the driver or the car actually attempted to brake at any point before the roof was taken off and it went under the trailer. So you know, that's cool. I personally, you know, obviously, yeah, the Tesla, you can see from his other videos, had you know, caught other unexpected driving incidents in the past. It unfortunately didn't catch this one, which was a rather unique situation potentially, but the ultimate responsibility has to be with the driver. And it's a really sad result. But
yeah, but I mean, I expected this to happen.
Boys, let's not speculate on cause because we have no clue.
I'm just saying, in a normal incident, there would have been one chance, the driver's attention, to catch and prevent this. In this case, there were two chances. Unfortunately, both came up short and failed.
According to the data that's been released. But, I mean, I just don't know how, you know. Like I said, we're not going to speculate because...
To be honest, I expected this to happen because, I mean, we all know how humans work. I mean, if they have a system that takes over and they trust it, they will immediately do something else. I mean, that happens with almost everything. Everything that is automated, I mean, you don't have to think about it. Even though you know you should pay attention, and but I mean, you talk to someone, you listen to music, you do a million things because you can, can really get take your mind off it, and that's when something happens. I mean, I don't know how many of you have had accidents you drive back from work, where you know exactly each street corner and everything, and you just don't pay as much attention anymore because it's your daily commute. That's just human nature, I would say. So I was expecting this to happen, as sad as that might sound, but yeah.
Let's wait until we know more.
Yeah, right.
This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. Thanks very much to them. Sorry if we spoiled your dinner there. Brought you down. with that last story. We'll lift you up with UK2 because they're awesome. They provide us with all the bandwidth. They provide us with all the server space. They give us the extra server from 100tb.com. They're an affiliate company in the US, so you can get dedicated servers from them and you still get your offer codes and they still work. And they pick up the 3.5 terabytes of crap that we store on there. That's all the old shows that you can watch on the NQL channel. Not quite live, so even when we're not broadcasting live, go to the live page, click on it, that comes through. That's all down to UK2. They've looked after us now for 9 years nearly, I gotta say, we'd be dead without them, and we can't do enough to say thank you to them. So please check out UK2 if you're buying anything for the web. Use the offer codes on britishnetwork.com/sponsors, or if you just sign into your account, just type in britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and that'll take you straight to your accounts page. Dead easy. And please stop what you're doing right now and tweet out about UK2 supporting British Tech and say thanks very much to UK2 for supporting British Tech, because they are crucial to us. And if you like us, then you need to like them, plain and simple. And also check out Hoya. Hoya have some great products out there. These are the new top loaders that you can get from Hoya. They're superb. If you want to try the new Avantek top loaders, you just want to have a look at them, you want to have a fitting, it's all completely free of obligation. All you got to do is get in touch with Hoya and type in podcast@hoya.co.uk, and you can turn up at your local opticians. A Hoya rep will be there. They will do all of the fitting. They'll show you the lenses, that kind of stuff. And if you go, no, actually, I don't think they're for me, and walk away, that's it. They don't even keep your email address. That is it. The email that you send through is purely for them to contact you back to arrange the meeting. If afterwards you say, I don't want to know anymore, they'll just say, okay, that's fine. They'll delete your email. Plain and simple. You won't go on a marketing advertising basis or anything like that. And one of the things you can do, if you're a BTN faithful listener, one of the BTN army, next time you're out walking, doing the shopping with people, if you pass a... you know, like an optician's, walk in and just stick your head in the corner and say, sorry, excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And if they go, no, we don't, you go, oh, that's a shame, and walk out. That's all you got to do. That's what Mark wants you to do. Go and do it. It'd be great. And if you can, make a note of where the place is and send it to podcast.hoya.co.uk, and then they can send a bloke going round saying, oh, what about Hoya lenses? That's what we need. It's probably not legal, actually, but never mind.
But do it anyhow.
Yeah, do it. Do it, do it, do it. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Cam.
Okay, free one from me this week. So, I think it was probably about maybe December, January time, I picked Lumino City as my pick. Yep. on iOS. If you haven't played it, you really should. It's essentially a platform game, but the thing I really loved about it, it's made by State of Play Games, a small software house in the UK. And the pretense behind the whole of this game is all of the scenery is handmade. It's all paper models, and they've animated over the top of the game. So you can make the main character Lumi move around, climb the ladders, and you essentially complete a series of challenges and quizzes and to move around the game. Now the cool thing about this, the app that I've picked, it's the making of Lumino City. It's almost like a little iPad coffee book, which goes through all how the game was made, how it was designed, how the models were made, the photography that was used, the music that was used, and it's just stunning. So even if you've not played the game, have a look at the book, look at how it's made, look at how much effort went into making this game. And you might just at the end want to give the game a go. I know that Jeff's played it. It's lovely.
It's a wonderful game.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much. Jeff, what do you have for us, mate?
My pick, I just dropped the link into the chat room for you, is a new Lego kit that came out. I think it was yesterday or maybe even just this morning. And this is the new Ecto Mobile from the new Ghostbusters movie that opens up in a week or so.
Right.
And yes, mine's already on order, so I'll have it in a few days. It's a really well designed kit, and it looks really nice. The details on it are great, and it's a really nice Lego kit. So, it's in the United States. It is $60, and I'm assuming that you guys get a better deal because you're closer to where Lego really is.
No, because it's in Europe, and they don't like us anymore.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. So, anyhow, it's a really cool kit. And once I've got it and I've put it together, I'll let everyone see it so that you can see just how awesome it is.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. I've now finally just, it's taken me forever, but I've finally sussed out. Here we go. There it is. $59. Well done.
£49.99 in the UK.
Oh, still better. So that's all right. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, my pick today is an awesome podcast, and it's actually very apropos as we were talking about cars and driverless cars just a few minutes ago. It's the podcast by Horace Dadio called A Sim Car. And if you know Horace, then, I mean, you might know him from The Critical Path. He's probably the one and only person I know that you can call a true analyst. He has a very analytical mind and is really, I mean, just down to earth. And he has this podcast, SM Car, where he really talks about his love for cars, driverless cars, electric cars, and really about production methods. He goes really into detail about how cars are produced, not about whether I don't know, this Ferrari is better than this one, but really how they are produced, what this means for the future, stuff like that. So it's really a great one. There were a couple of episodes. He recently talked, for example, about the BMW i3, which is my favorite car right now, and about Tesla. He did some test drives recently and so on. So it's really a great podcast, and I could just highly recommend it. And it's not too much. I mean, they release about once a month an hour's worth of podcasts, so it's not too high impact on your podcast list.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on the 5x5. I like Andy's Almanac, and but I listened to Hypercritical on there. Christ.
Yeah, they have really great things. And Relay FM also has at least one or two good shows still.
No, it wasn't a great one. Anyway. Risey Boy, what do you have for us, old man? You got a new mute button? No?
Well, that's fancy.
Just in the chat room, Procreate is one of my favourite apps. And Procreate Pocket is... Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. But if you download the Apple App Store app this week, they'll give you a redemption code to get it for absolutely free. So $2.29 at the moment, download the Apple App Store app, and they'll give you a code to get it absolutely for nothing. And it is brilliant. It's brilliant on the Mac. It's brilliant on the iPad. But on the phone, it's just a great little app. Like, go and get it absolutely free.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. Procreate is brilliant. Love it.
In the United States, to get it for free, you need to go to the App Store app, or excuse me, the Apple Store app, and just scroll down, and it shows up on the main screen.
Yeah, brilliant.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. And Alan.
Yep. So do you remember Zoetropes? Those funny sort of... upside down drums with the slit in that you sort of spin, and then you look through and you get your early idea of animation.
Yep.
The way you see a little person jumping around and stuff. Well, this particular artist has gone and used 3D printing to put together meshes that basically have the silhouette of a walking and dancing people in it. And, you know, without the lighting, they just look like maybe a 3D print gone wrong. But put them on a turntable and put sort of slit-like lighting down from the top by the projector. And if you see the full video, you'll see he's also got the projector sort of bringing in multiple beams of light crossing it. And therefore, you can have sort of multiple silhouettes going at the same time and stuff. So it's... I thought it was pretty awesome modern version of obviously one of the oldest forms of animation possible, and bringing in 3D printing. So close to your heart, Ewan.
I do like 3D printing at the moment.
Oh, I thought this one would... this is your new challenge, okay?
Have they got stuff that you can that's pre-made that you can download?
Or I don't know whether he has released his patterns or not, because I say it's an artist who's done two of these, one walking and one dancing. As I say, you'll see as he sort of brings in the projector, and has multiple people sort of going there. I think it's very impressive, and also the way it sort of the mesh gives it a sort of bit of a more of a 3D form, even though the light slit being projected down is obviously only a very thin 2D line. As normal, your brain fills in a lot of gaps, but I thought it was very cool to watch. But yeah, you'll need to check out the link from the chat room if you're listening on audio.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 1st of July, Friday the 1st of July, and you'll see all of the links to all of the stuff that we've put in there. Just don't click any of Muller's.
No.
Where can we get a hold of you? Oh, the Bash. The Bash is coming up, yes. 22nd and 23rd of July. It's in a couple of weeks' time. There is a curry on the night of the 22nd at the Kismet. It is the best curry you'll ever taste. Tickets are £10 for that, and it's just that's your deposit, and then whatever's left over we'll just split amongst the rest of us. Buy your own beer this time around, though, so there won't be any hefty bills or anything like that at the end to try and deal with if you were driving or something, which was a bit unfair last year. And that's great. Kids have to pay the tenner as well, but they don't pay any of the excess at the end that gets us through. And then on the day, we've got the link hired. It's all paid for and bought up, and it should be awesome. We've got loads of fun and games going on. Loads and loads of people there. The World Card Cutting Championships, there's Righty Boy going out.
Oh, my word.
The World Card Cutting Championships will be taking place, and we're looking for a winner who's not a child this year, because we've only ever had children win it, and it's never been fixed either, which is the weird thing.
Can't have two competitions, a children's and an adult's.
Well, you want a children's and an adult's, just in case we can't get an adult to win this time. Yeah. That'd be worth it. And it's just awesome. It's an absolutely fabulous day. It's loads and loads of fun. And get yourself down there. Starts at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday the 23rd. Tickets for adults are £20. Kids come free of charge. But the tickets for the adults charge, that's everything included. That's all the beer, all the tea and coffee, all the soft drinks, all the wine you could possibly want, all the food. The food by Leanne. How good's the food by Leanne?
Yeah, lovely. Awesome. Brownies.
For the chocolate awesome. Brownies, if nothing else.
The fudge chocolate brownies and stuff at the end. Oh, we're don't just stop to die me. For. And Righty's not coming. Oh, dear.
I know. Dear. I'm going to miss it. Yeah.
Righty, myself and Princess Bagel, we delayed and cut short our holiday to Italy by a day to make the Bash this year.
I know, yeah. I know.
Flying out of a different airport because we're coming to the Bash.
And I'm coming over from Europe, so.
He's coming from Germany now.
Yeah.
Well, is that enough pressure,
Righty,
Ewan?
Righty won't actually say why he can't come. You see, that's the trouble. So,
special interrogation session with Hot Boss.
Oh dear! That's what he's gone red. That's what it is.
Sorry, corporate retreat.
No, it's a team building event.
Shit!
Something's coming up.
Oh yeah,
team bonding event.
Something's come up, eh, Righty? I hope she doesn't watch this show, do. am I doing the draw live this year? Yes, I will be doing the draw on Periscope. So one morning I will sit down and we will do the draw on Periscope for that. But we need to get the numbers in. So if you want a ticket, now's the time to buy it. Don't wait any longer, because I've had to pay for the venue already. We've only got 200 places and there's 60 gone already. And we usually get a good few sales in the last 2 weeks up to the event. So please get your ticket now. Otherwise, I'm afraid you may be struggling. Great. Where can we get hold of you? Camps.
Campy UK on Twitter. Normally on the Big Show each week. Very occasionally on the Mac Show. And I'm normally loitering around the Slack room.
Slack room's going well at the moment. Now we've calmed down after the Europe thing and we've all got friendly again.
That's what it's about. We can get in there. We can have a bit of banter. Nobody should be taking offence with it.
No.
And we're all BTN friends at the end of the day.
Too right. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey is at Jeff Gamet or at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and you can get him at the Mac Observer, where he's the managing editor. Go and see them and see all the stuff that they do. And he gets Fresh Brewed Tales as well. That quirky little blog about people drinking in Starbucks. Or coffee shops. Patrice, where are you, mate?
As always, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And if you want to know how to cook in German, go and watch The Casual Kitchen.
Correct.
Righty, where are you, mate?
Paul is on Twitter, mate, and with my mates in the Slack room, always.
Excellent, buddy. And badgering Jim to come and look after my wife on the Sunday.
Yes, I will have a word.
Yeah, definitely. He needs to get his arse up. We know him well enough now. He doesn't need you to hold his hand, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. He's a big boy.
Exactly. And Alan, the one person with their wife who is utterly committed to the bash. Well done, mate. I'm proud to say that that I know you.
No problem. As I say, it's always been a great event. Wouldn't want to miss it.
It has. It's been good fun. Last year's was just awesome. It was easily the best. So bars set high this year.
And yet there were no deaths, even with the space hoppers.
We had an injury. It's the first time. No, there was my little bruise on my chest.
I don't think it counts injuries to you, though, does it, Ewan?
Thanks to that sodding slingshot that neighbour brought. Yeah. That would have blinded me. But last year we were injury free for the first time. All the other bashes that we've had at the link, we've had an injury.
That's the way.
This is our fourth year there this time, so should be good. Did you do where you're at, by the way?
No. So best place to find me is Digital Amoeba on Twitter.
Excellent, mate. Spot on. Jeff, we did do where you are, but you should do it because you do it better.
Oh, I bet you did a great version for me. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm in the MacObserver.com, and I'm on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamet. I'm on Instagram, same thing. And I'm on like every podcast ever, it seems. And Fresh Brewed Tales, go check that out, because I talk about cool stuff at coffee shops. When I say cool stuff, it's really stupid things that people do, but I'm writing about it, so there you go.
That's what I said, isn't it? That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's verbatim.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be live next week as normal. So we've got the big show and the Mac show on Friday, starting at 7 o'clock. If you want to come and watch live, we do stream out live on BritishTechNetwork.com/live, and you can join us there and have some fun. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.